this from last week?
No, no, no. No, this is from way back in June.
Oh.
So, let's see, today's October 20th, 2010, and we're going to do lesson number 82 called A Clock in Front of the Face. And what's good about this lesson, and those of you that are here today, is it will be in some ways a refresher back to the movement of the pelvis with the pelvic clock, and then for those of you that don't know it, we'll learn it. So take a moment, first of all, just observing and noticing how you're lying on your back today with your legs long, your arms down by your side. And I'd like you to draw attention first to your head and notice what part on the backside is making contact with the floor. And this is a little unfamiliar, you know, to pay attention to. So if you begin to do a movement, for example, of tilting your chin, so pull your chin a little closer to your chest and then you move it away from your chest, you'll feel how that changes the place that you rest on with the back of your head. Right? So you feel that? So as you tilt your head back and forth, slow it down so that you just find that place where you started, where you settle in. We'll call it your neutral. And you might notice your neutral is your chin's a little closer to your chest or a little bit away. Just notice where that neutral is for you, and then what part of the back of your head is now resting on the floor. So you get a clear image for yourself, because we'll see if that changes, you know, by the end of the lesson. So, and I guess another thing to then notice and observe is that if your chin, let's say, is moved away from your chest, right, there's a bigger curve in your neck, or bigger arch. And then if you bring your chin closer down to your chest, right, it's almost like you're flattening out the neck, which is actually not a good thing. But the tendency is if you're tight in the lower back, you will often, and your hips, you will often have a bigger arch in the neck. Okay, so just find that for yourself. And then pull your attention down to your pelvis, and then kind of with the same idea, just notice where actually do you make contact, you know, because the pelvis is kind of like this big circular area, right? But you really kind of only really rest in one section. So again, you could do the same thing you just did with your head, which is to create a tilt with your pelvis, bringing your belly forward and then pulling your belly in. And feel how that changes where you're lying in the pelvis. And then just notice where you settle in. What is your neutral? And none of it is good, bad, right, or wrong, but it's you. Good. Okay, so bend both knees and bring both feet up to standing, and then from that, we'll start with tilting the pelvis again. But before we do so, remember when I ask you to bring your feet to standing that you always bring them to what I call a good standing position. So that means that the feet are pretty close to where the buttocks are, right? Because if the feet are too far away, yeah, you're having to work. That's much better, right? Good. So in this position, you're going to begin to tilt your pelvis to first, let's say, flatten your pelvis. That's it, Becky. And then arch the pelvis. That's it. And really thinking of the pelvis doing the movement, not your spine. And then if you were to be lying on a clock, we're going to create some clocks. So you either could be lying on a clock, or could you take a clock onto the ceiling? Okay? So for me, if I'm looking at a clock on the ceiling, 12 o'clock would be more towards my head, and I would think 6 o'clock is down more towards my feet. and then 3 o'clock's off to the right, and 9 o'clock is over to the left. Does everybody else see the same kind of clock? Okay. So that's how I would see it. So if you're tilting your pelvis to flatten, right, it's like that you're bringing the back, the top of the pelvis, I think, towards 12 o'clock. And then as I arch and my belly comes forward, I think of going down towards 6. Does that make sense? Or does that confuse everybody? That makes sense. Okay. So have your clock up there on the ceiling, and as you continue to do this tilt, now pull in the visualization of 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. That's it. And I'm going to encourage you to really go more towards 6 o'clock. That's our hardest place to go, to really push the belly forward. And when your belly comes forward, there's also what happens with the pubic bone, which is that frontal bone way low, is it tilts so far forward that it's almost like if you kept on going, you'd eventually sit on it. Right? So again, I'm trying to create visuals that the pubic bone tilts away from you and like down in between the space where your legs are. Right? Everybody got that? Good. Okay. That piece is super important because most of us spend way too much time with things tucked under. So feel as you tilt your pubic area that way and you go towards 6 o'clock, it pulls the whole spine down, including your head. So just notice how it pulls the chin down into your chest. And then when you flatten your back, your head grows tall. That's it. So just go back and forth and, in a way, let your head go for a ride. Nice. Okay. Now, keeping your legs standing, just pause in what I call neutral with your pelvis. And that's where you're not totally flat, right? There's almost a sense there's a little bit of an arc there, a little space, but you're not over tilting it. Okay? And now bring your attention and awareness to your face and specifically your nose. And let's do the same movement now with your nose. So we're going to have your nose go, I'm going to say up, up being towards like your forehead and towards maybe like the back of the ceiling, because that would be again towards 12 o'clock. So if your nose moves up and backwards, it goes towards 12. And then as you bring your nose down, as if you were going to look down towards your chest or your sternum, your nose goes towards 6 o'clock. So begin to do that movement, and your focus, though, again, is your nose, that your nose is directing the movement. And it's quite fascinating how different the movement is when you change from the nose to the chin, where the movement is being initiated. That's it. And notice, is it easier for you to go towards 12 o'clock or 6 o'clock with your nose? That's it. And the last thing to notice is at this point is, does it really feel like it's all happening primarily in your head and your neck? So right with the movement with the pelvis, you felt, oh, that's connecting all the way up. But when you move your nose, is it just about your head and neck? Or do you feel anything trickling down your spine to your pelvis? So not to make it or force anything, just ask yourself the question, because as soon as you notice, it will start changing. But think about it, that there should be the same connection, right? But it's interesting that when you go to move your nose, it's like you become disconnected. Good. Okay, so come back to center with your head. So it's almost like your nose is the center of the clock, right? Where the hands are attached. So we're going to start to draw a circle now with your nose. But if your nose was in the center, right, it needs to first go up in a way towards 12 o'clock, up and back. And then if you were to go over to 1 o'clock, you start to go to the right. And then notice where you're at for 3 o'clock. And then how can you scoop down to bring the nose down to 6. And then start to come over to 9 to the left. And then back up to 12. And again, your focus is your nose. Your nose is making a circle. You're going around the clock. For right now, we're going clockwise. Just notice how you do this and how, as you're drawing the circle, so you're going to have right now two images in your mind. You've got the circle or the clock, and your nose making the circle, going around the clock. And then I'd like you to pull into your awareness how the back of your head is changing its contact with the floor, right? And this kind of idea is what we're going to do a lot more of in the next workshop, where you pull your attention to multiple places. So you got your nose making the clock, and then you've got in the background sensing and feeling how you're changing the contact with the back of your head and the floor. So there's no lifting of your head. You're rolling along the back of the head. So at some point, could you even shift the attention to feel that you're actually drawing a circle with the back of your head? So that you move your attention to maybe the back of your head drawing the circle, and then you let what goes into the background, your nose, for a minute. And then you shift again back to then your nose being in the foreground. This is something that we do a lot when we're a child and we don't know we're doing it, to learn about the world, the foreground, background. That's it. And then we end up as an adult living primarily in the foreground. Good. And now find another moment within doing the circle. And you can be either paying attention to your nose or the back of your head, but you change the direction. So let's go counterclockwise. That would be going like from 6 to 3 to 12 to 9. And then once you've changed the direction with the circle, again, play with this idea that you're first maybe drawing the circle with your nose, and then how do you shift your attention to the back of your head drawing the circle? And then you still have in the background for yourself your nose. So you got these two references that you pull, go back and forth from foreground, background, foreground, background. And as you make just a couple more circles, the last piece, so it's like now we're adding in a third piece, is your breath and your breathing. So can you, as you continue the circle, just have this moment where you identify, am I breathing? Is my breath continuous? And then you come back to the circle, and then you come back to the nose, and you notice the back of the head. And then you notice, oh yes, I am still breathing. So you don't try to make the breathing have any sense with the circle. There's no like, oh, you need to inhale then and exhale then. It's just noticing that you are breathing, that you're not holding your breath, because those are usually the two options. You're either breathing or you're in a moment of holding your breath. Good. Okay. Let it go. Lengthen your legs and just observe now What's different in the way that you lie on the floor? What's changed for you? And so as we move into the next kind of series or sets of different movements, I'd like you on your own, and I can remind you, but I'm going to try not to remind you so much, to draw your attention, to shift your attention on your own. So the places I'd like you to shift your attention to are your breath and your breathing. How are you breathing? Is your breathing just continuous? That means you're inhaling, the pause, the exhaling, and your pause. And then drawing in the attention of what's happening with the back of your head, and then what's happening with your face. But I'd like to give you the freedom that you're kind of on your own course of how you draw your attention to those different places. Does that sound okay? Okay, so let's bend your knees, bring your feet up to standing again. And now this time we're going to go back to the movement of the pelvis. So, but let's start, if you think about maybe in a way neutral, right, is like the center of the clock again. So let's start by, if we go up to 12, which would be flattening your back. And could you just begin to go from 12 to 1 o'clock to 2 to 3? So we're doing like a quarter arc and then return. So you're in the place where your lower back is pressed in the floor. It's almost like you're lifting the tailbone a little bit. It starts to tuck under. And then you start to arc over to the right.
Legs go too?
Nope. The leg, good question. The legs always, 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 always. The knees stay pointed towards the ceiling. So what this creates is a differentiation in your pelvis to your hips. So what that means is your pelvis is moving relative to your legs. And why this is so important is that we do this in most activities. Biggest one is golf. Your legs stay grounded and standing, but you're turning your pelvis around the legs. That makes sense? So you go back to 12, and so as you come over to 3, that's the very place where, you know, you're kind of in neutral. So if you were to go beyond 3 towards 4, the belly starts to tip forward. So if you want to, and then you reverse it, that's it. And if you want to add 4 in, go ahead. That's it. And then if you were to come forward, that's it. And then come back and flatten. There. Good. Excellent. There you go. And if you want to even start to add 5 o'clock in, there you go. And then 5 and even 6. So that would be, then you come all the way to the belly's pushing forward, and then you just reverse it. So you're doing all that, that's it. One side, and then again on your own, can you notice what's happening with your head and the back of your head, your nose, and if possible, really nice, what's happening with your trunk, the ribs. So you're not really doing anything, right? They're going along for the ride. But don't go to that side yet. Yeah, so everything's just, we're doing like a half a circle from 12, 3, yep, 12, 3, 6, 6, that's it. And feel what that does for your ribs. So again, as you come over here, see if like, ooh, can that, yeah. So then let more, there, that's it. And let your head, and again, yeah, so let the ribs come over there. And then again, remind yourself to notice what's happening with the back of the head. There. Come back. And now come back over. And then come back over here, Jolie. There you go. And really let these ribs, there. Can they follow? There you go. Feel how that happens. And then again, you're noticing occasionally the back of, that's it. The back of your head, your nose. But I'd like to give you more freedom to learn to shift your attention on your own without me telling you when to do it. And what really leads to that, my favorite word, my very favorite word, is curiosity. It's just like, oh, and by the way, having curiosity. That's why kids do it all the time, because they're so curious. So that's why they're able to draw in multiple thoughts and multiple thinking of different things at the same time, because they're curious. They don't stay so focused on one thing. You know how they're doing that? Like, one minute they could be touching one thing and they're already off their mind to the next thing, and they're not even really with what they started doing. Good. Now go back up to 12, and then let's do the other half. So let's do 12, 9, and 6, which would be the left side. And again, have a lot of curiosity. I would say, first of all, is this side quite a bit different? You know, is this easier? Is this harder? What does it tell you about this side of your pelvis? I know my two sides are completely different. Completely. And it always surprises me. I think my right side's going to be better, but it's easier for me actually on my left side. And feel how the ribs come over there. Feel what happens again with the back of your head and your nose and your breath. And what's also really wonderful and valuable to notice is when you do the reverse, the return. Like, that's another distinction that I have for myself, is that on the right side, it's really easy to push the belly forward, but the return is harder on the left side, the tucking under. But on my left side, it's easier to do the tucking under. So just notice that. Good. And then find a point or a moment where you all of a sudden start to create the whole circle, but stay within this kind of slowness and this quality that you've already set up for yourself, so that you're really touching like each number of the clock. So can you at moments think of the clock back on the ceiling? And really making sure, if you go slow enough, you're really sure. You know, for me, the numbers that I slice off are, I think, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and 5 o'clock. That I just don't quite get the curve, you know. I kind of get this straight cut. And I really have to encourage myself, especially I think it's 5 o'clock, to really get to 5. And if I rush it, I'll just jump from 4 to 6. And just notice which direction. Are you going clockwise or counterclockwise? That doesn't matter at all. It's just information for you, how you're making the circle and going along the numbers of the clock. And again, finding a moment where you check in with your nose and the back of your head, how that's all going. What's happening with your breath and your breathing? And if we can go just a little longer, I'd like you to reverse the direction of your clock or your circle. So again, find that moment for you where you can easily and effortlessly change the direction of the circle. It doesn't affect your breathing. It doesn't affect your ease, the flow. It might be like at 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock, or it might be at a 2 o'clock. It's just really interesting to notice where is that moment where it's real easy for you to reverse the movement. And then as you're making the circle in the other direction, again, just notice, is this direction easier? Is it a little more challenging? What makes going this direction different than when you were going the other direction? And then again, can you continue making the circle but pull into your awareness the back of your head and the movement of the back of your head and the movement with your nose? Good. Okay. And then slowly let that go and straighten your legs and rest on your back. And just notice how you're resting on your back there now. Bring your attention to your breathing. And again, without changing anything, you're just noticing. It's to notice your inhalation, where the inhalation goes to in your body, and then noticing the pause at the end of the inhalation, and then noticing your exhalation, and then your pause. Bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing. And now let's go back to your face, your nose, and the clock on the ceiling. And again, usually I think of our nose as the center of the clock to start with, so we're going to go up towards 12 o'clock. And then let's do a half a circle. So let's say you go from 12 to 3, back to 12 and over to a 9. So we're going to like do the upper half of the circle instead of the side part. And again, you're having your nose do that upper arc. And occasionally you're shifting your awareness to the back of your head to feel what part of the back of your head touches the floor when you do this movement of the sweeping movement now from 3 to 12 to 9. And then 9, 12 to 3. What do you feel happens in the neck? And does anything start to happen in between the shoulder blades and with your chest? Good. And now can we shift to the lower half? So let's say you get over to 3 or to 9. Then you would go 3, 6, 9, 9, 6, 3. And again, as your chin is more hanging down, and in a way you're kind of rolling towards each shoulder, if you notice that your chin actually comes pretty close to each shoulder on each side. Yeah. And again, can you then pay attention to, as your chin's really tucked down, what part of the back of your head now makes contact? That's it. Good. Okay, let's pause. Rest your legs and just take a moment to rest. Okay, and bend your knees, bring your feet up to standing again. And let's go back to your nose. It's the center of the clock, and you've got your clock on the ceiling. And now let's go ahead and make an entire circle. So let's tilt your nose up towards 12, and then let's start to arc over towards 3, and then really feel how your chin pulls in almost like it grazes the right shoulder, and then your chin very much is tucked in. That's it, and grazes over to the left shoulder before it arcs back. That's it. And as you continue, can you then find the moment where you pay attention to the back of your head? There. And it's keeping that there. Oh. Yeah, right in here. You want to pull away already. There you go. That's the piece right there.
Very tight in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I came over it. I couldn't not help you. So it's right there. Yes, it's to let this happen first and then this. So as you draw in, noticing the back of your head, begin to also really nice notice your chest. And at this point, I'm just going to encourage you to encourage your chest. Right? So there's a moment when the chest will get puffed up and then it'll get deflated. That's it. Because somehow you even feel the pelvis is tugged on and it starts to move. And notice with the pelvis, would it be moving in the same direction? Is it the same clock as your head? That's it, Becky. Really nice, Tomoko. Okay, so bring your head back to center, to neutral. Your nose is in the middle. And now let's go back to the pelvis. So let's take the pelvis towards 12 o'clock. So that means flattening the lower back as if the tailbone comes up in between the legs, and then start to go over to 3 to the right, and then tip it forward, curving around down to 6. So the belly's pulled forward. And then you come over to the left to 9 o'clock. That's it, and back up to 12. So get the pelvis going now. And again, can you have the image of the clock still on the ceiling as you're making the movement with your pelvis? And then you start to notice just how your head is following along. So again, not to change anything. Your pelvis is orchestrating the movement. But just notice what your face and your head's doing. And is it in the same direction, or is it actually almost like we end up making like a figure eight? It almost goes in the little bit of the opposite direction. I mean, just notice. Really good. And then, as we did earlier, find that moment for yourself, wherever it is, along the circle, along the clock, where you can easily, effortlessly reverse the direction so that we start to go counterclockwise. So as you reverse the movement, and this is one of the most important things that Moshe realized with this work, for any movement to be completely clear in the nervous system, the reversibility has to be there. But if you have to fully stop, think about it, your breathing stops, then it's not clear in your nervous system. It's not really a clear image. And this is something that you can play with this movement or other movements on your own all the time, is with any of the lessons, is taking just one movement, because I know, Becky, you asked this, right? So if you just have 5 minutes in the morning, you can take one movement and just play with the circle of the pelvis and then reversing it. And all of this comes down to quality. The quality and the ease of the movement, right? Because right now you're starting to feel how smooth it is and easy. So it's almost like you're not really, there's so little effort involved in moving, right? But when we go to the gym and we use weights and stuff, it's like it really appears like it's this big effort. But really, when you're using yourself efficiently and in a very fluid way, there's such an ease. I don't know, for me, movement always becomes very liquidy. Good. And look for one more time where you can reverse the direction again. So you change the direction. And then see if you can really clarify for yourself every single number along the clock. There you go. Good. Okay. And then let that go and rest again. Have your legs long. Just notice how you're resting. So yeah, this is the pelvic clock, and then with the head clock, the face clock, you can take this everywhere. And I've laid on a lot of airport floors doing this. So when I used to travel a lot, that's what I would do. Just find a spot, and if I was really tired or my back hurt or whatever, I would just do this in between, you know, getting onto the next flight. Because kind of the worst thing to do is go from sitting on airplane to then sitting in another seat. So it's like just to give my spine time to, like, detox, I'd lay down. But I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody thinks about me, obviously, because people would sometimes look, but kids love it. Little kids would come up over to me, and then they lay on the floor and put their legs up, and they try to be imitating me. Oh, they just, you know, because they're already on the floor, and they're not used to adults getting down on the floor, let alone moving on the floor. But I just really didn't let it bother me that, you know, I think the only thing that was bothersome is I had some pretty bad floors, and so I would go to the restroom and get paper towels to at least lie down along my head and my back and my butt, because I mean there's some pretty bad carpets and stuff out there. So that's what I would use, though. I'd just go to the bathroom, get the paper towels, just lay them down. But anyways, this is a really good one to do. And you can't forget it. It's really easy, right? You'll never forget this, the pelvic clock tilt. See, when you went to Hawaii. Mm.
So do you start with your head first still?
No.
Do you break it out?
You can no, just start with your pelvis, then you can go to your head. Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's bend the knees again. Bring your feet up to standing. And we're going to start with your pelvis again. So let's go up towards 12. And then let's go clockwise. So we'll go over to 3 to the right, and then to 6, and then over to the left to 9. And as you get your clock going, again, it's this ability to shift your attention and awareness, is to not only notice the back of your head, but let's see now if we can shift to having then now all of a sudden your nose is drawing the clock or the circle. But can your pelvis move in the same way? So don't lose your pelvis in the shift of going up to your nose. Does that make sense? Right? So you get the pelvis going, and then you keep the pelvis going, but yet we're going to now make the driver the nose. And if you start to lose it, you can always shift back down to your pelvis and get it going again, because that's what happens for me. It's kind of like my pelvis starts to get a little bit lost and gets slower and detaches a little bit. Then I start the pelvis again. And then once I get that really smooth and going, then I shift to my head. So it's this quality that I can have my nose doing the clock and my pelvis doing the clock. And again, they're not lined up approaching the numbers at the same time, so let go of that. Just let them be fluid. But at least you feel the circles happening. And so then as you have those going, you can then, once again, another thing to notice, that's it, Tomoko, you're doing a great job, is what's happening in the middle. So what's happening now with those ribs, the rib cage? So it should be going along for a ride. And some of you, I came over and really touched how the ribs come in on one side and expand on the other side. And so in some sense, and we're going to do this in another lesson, we're going to do a rib clock. But we won't do it today, but just to give you that idea that the rib cage should be tugging along here, right? It's going for a ride too. And so what you can do is you can shift your attention to who's the driver. And if you start to lose it, always shift back to the pelvis, because that's the most powerful one to start with. That's it. And then now look for a moment that you can reverse the direction. And if you want to reverse the direction with the pelvis, that's great. Or do you want to see, can you reverse the direction with your nose and your head? And again, don't lose sight of checking in, noticing what's happening with the back of your head. So you've got like kind of four places to bounce from: pelvis, the nose doing the clock, the back of the head, what's happening with the rib cage. Oh yeah, then there's the pelvis. And so you learn to shift your attention. You just kind of move it along, but you never lose sight of the other places. And we thought school was hard, right? But actually, there's a lot to be said with learning to do this, of like what happens in the brain and how this encourages memory and remembering multiple things at one time. You do it all the time, right? If you're driving, you have to remember how to push the gas pedal and when to use the brakes, how to keep your eyes on the road, use blinkers. That's a great example of how your attention is really distributed, right? Good. And if you want to change the direction one more time, maybe challenge yourself so that it's maybe the back of your head this time changing the direction, not the nose or not the pelvis. Great. And then just take maybe one more moment as you continue along and kind of notice for yourself by shifting or hopping your attention to these different places if the ability to sense your nose drawing the circle in the back of your head and then the ribs and the pelvis, is there a clarity that's there now that maybe wasn't in the beginning, right? Good. Okay. And then when you're ready, slowly bring that to a close, and I'll know you're done by you having your legs long and your arms down by your side. And then now just notice what you notice. How are you now? What's changed? Because it's impossible, it's absolutely impossible to come to a class and move and not have anything change. It's really interesting to me when I have people like that say nothing's different, because it just tells me they're that unaware of being in their body that they have no sense of measuring things, because it's impossible. I mean, that basically means every moment in your life as you're moving through life, it's impossible to not be changing. We're shifting states all the time, yeah? That's why, well, when I was going to be on the radio, I got banned from the radio, but when I was going to be talking about posture, and posture is such an interesting topic, because Moshe was really the only person that thought of posture as moments in between movement. So right now you're in a posture. And he wasn't attached to posture was a way of standing erect. But it was any moment when you're pausing in between going to the next movement. So you could be lying down and that's a posture, or sitting on a couch is a posture. Does that make sense? And what he thought and looked at is that the more capacity that you have to be in so many different postures and be comfortable, the more functional you are, right? Because if there's only one posture, imagine how difficult that is in life. Okay, so notice now, go back for a moment just to the back of your head as we did in the beginning. Remember that? And are you lying in the same spot, or is it different? Or maybe like larger or smaller, or, you know, just, yeah, just like there's a bigger sense back there now, right? The back of your head and where it is. Yeah, usually it's just one little pinpoint you're resting on, then it gets, so all of a sudden it's a bigger mass. And that you have the sense of the back of your head, which, again, is another thing that we're so much paying attention to the front side of us and our face, we forget the back side of our head. So it'll be real interesting when you come up in a moment to standing, how that affects you in standing and in a standing posture. So go ahead and roll to one of your sides and bring yourself up to sitting and standing. Yeah, this is one of my favorite lessons, though, that, like I said, you can do anywhere. And so, yeah, so just notice now in standing, what happened there with now that the back of your head, and how it really, for me, I know it's a very huge thing that I really lead most of my life with my head. And so this particular lesson like really brings my head back kind of over me. And it's just this like, wow, is my head really that far out, you know? It's a huge shift for me. So just notice that if you have that, a similar kind of thing that,
I don't know if it's because we've been on our backs for the whole time, but I feel a little more awareness of my back.
Great. Good. Well, again, I think we just don't notice that part very much.
I noticed that I was a lot more even on my pelvis and my head.
Great. Good. Yeah, so walk around, see how it is. You okay?
Yeah, no, it felt like when I first started, you know, my what I thought was neutral was so pressured. That was just really tucked.
Good, great. That's a huge awareness. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's there's these huge awarenesses. Like, I forget that, I know for myself, I lead with my head and my mouth because I'm talking a lot. And so it's like with the computer, it's like I'm like out here, and then this lesson brings me back. I'm like, whoa, I'm so far out here. But I notice it all the time with the computer, like, because I'm like looking, it's almost like I get pulled in. Yeah, and I'm like, I can imagine me in the grocery store, you know, because like, yeah, I'm thinking, so like in the grocery store, I'm on a mission, and I think my head's way out here, like, it's not on top of me. It's like, get it back there.
So if you were going to lay on the floor, lay on the floor, lay on the floor, lay on the floor.